Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the worst week in politics for handsy Andy Cuomo. Will the furor last? Or will it fade away like the Ralph Northam Klan Hood scandal? We will discuss all the Cuomo developments today. First, there was this. PBS White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor appeared as usual on MSNBC with Andrea Mitchell and said that Cuomo's response to all this was Trumpian. That, on MSNBC, is a major slap in the face. Then, she said, Democrats don't seem to have the same appetite for this sort of behavior that the GOP has.
Democrats are not, they don't seem to have the same appetite for this sort of behavior that the GOP has.
I don't know about the word appetite. You were saying the Republicans just naturally do a lot more abusing? Or you're saying a tolerance? They have a higher tolerance for it in the Republican Party. Look, this really sounds like Yamiche was born yesterday. Like she has no idea what that Clinton impeachment was all about. Who's Paula Jones? What was that? Like the one and only example she has of a sex harassment scandal ending somebody's career was Al Franken. The first rule of media bias, based on my 30 plus years of experience on the media critic beat, is this. Scandals is one of the most obvious measurements of double standards and bias. Scandals are how the parties seek to damage each other's brand to gain political advantage. The news media's wildly differing coverage of scandals betrays they are out to do aggressive damage control for Democrats and inflict maximum damage on Republicans. Their general reaction to a Democrat scandal is to try to pretend it does not exist. Their general reaction to a Republican scandal is, yes, how many scoops do you want? So at the end of June, Rich Noyes here at the Media Research Center looked at all the evening news coverage in 2021. He noted that after 82 minutes of Andrew Cuomo scandal coverage in March, then there was nothing in April, nothing in May, nothing in June, and I guess a couple of whispers in July. That he wrote about this at the end of June. Now, that didn't mean they didn't talk about Cuomo. They still touted him on the coronavirus policy like he actually did accomplish something there, which again shows you their shameless Democratic bias. That seniors in nursing homes died of COVID because Andrew Cuomo sent COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. He was somehow still a hero, but they were not talking about the sex harassment scandal in April, in May, in June. This is all about Andrew, but for us in the Newsbusters Brigade, this is also all about Chris. This underlines again why many Americans don't trust the news media. They are shameless Democrats. CNN could not only hire a Cuomo, they promoted him to primetime based on the name, based on the Democrat glamour of his family. That the Cuomos, I think, are second only to the Kennedys in the kind of name that has great cachet in one party circles, not in the other, just in one. The shameless Cuomo brothers comedy routines during 2020 just exposed how CNN thought the Cuomos as a duo were a boost for them. The notion of any media ethics about conflicts of interest went out the window. Celebrity dazzle, at least Democrat celebrity dazzle, outranked media ethics every time. The Reliable Sources newsletter that came out today. Brian Stelter wrote, "Inside CNN, some staffers I spoke with were supportive of Cuomo on Tuesday, recognizing that no one chooses their family members." Earth to Stelter, CNN gets to choose their news anchors. CNN doesn't have to hire and keep a walking, blabbing conflict of interest. They chose Cuomo, and they chose him because his name is Cuomo. And they're not going to let him go, I bet, because his name is Cuomo. Chris Cuomo is the branding of CNN. They are the Cuomo News Network. He hosts the most popular show on CNN. Now, I know this is like, I don't know, being the one Montreal Expos guy to make the All-Star team. But it defines them as Democrat TV. This is what the networks do. ABC News hired Chris Cuomo first. So I guess they at least put the journalist tag on him. ABC also hired George Stephanopoulos, who had no journalism experience. He had experience in squashing Democrat scandals. That apparently is liberal media experience. NBC hired Maria Shriver of the Kennedys, who specialized in polishing Democrat apples. Some of the most embarrassing questions ever put on national TV to Hillary Clinton came from Maria Shriver. I mean, this is just a thing NBC does. NBC hired Jenna Bush, and she's not really political, but she had no journalism qualifications. NBC hired Chelsea Clinton, who had no journalism qualifications, but NBC paid her the big bucks. She barely appeared on camera because she had all the charisma of who knows. I mean, she had no, there was no sizzle there in a TV news sense. And this is where you have to feel for people that are trying to work their way up at an NBC News or a CNN or an ABC based just on their talents. Well, that's not what gets you the big time, apparently. You just have to have the right last name. CNN hired Laura Jarrett, daughter of Valerie Jarrett. Did Laura Jarrett have any news credentials? It didn't matter. This is CNN. When I was 22, I came to Washington, D.C. with a resume, with Bemidji State University bachelor's degree. I had no connections. I could only try to show you what I could do by showing you. I didn't, but you know, this is what happens in D.C. and New York. You get a leg up based on which college you went to, who you know, who's your uncle, what your last name is. That's fine if that's the way the world works, but you can't expect that the Joe Schmoes who are in the audience are going to look at you and say, oh, well, they have no experience, but gee, they're a Cuomo. Cuomo doesn't think he's in any danger at CNN, and maybe he's not. You know, back in May, Brian Stelter, on Reliable Sources, had vaguely noted that Cuomo had advised his governor brother, quote, about how to handle the sexual harassment scandal that has engulfed the governor's office. But Stelter never specified what the Washington Post actually reported. Chris had, quote, encouraged his brother to take a defiant position, unquote. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's one thing for Chris Cuomo to advise his governor brother about what shirt to wear on camera, which tie to wear. That's not what this was. This was about addressing a series of accusers who were accusing Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. Ultimately, what Chris Cuomo was advising his brother to do was to hammer them all and basically suggest this was some cynical attempt at cancel culture. He was basically suggesting that these women's character needed to be assassinated. That's now going to be the CNN brand. CNN spent all this time promoting Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti when they thought it was going to hit Donald Trump where it counts. This is just how empty it all looks. Me Too is just a joke to everyone. And let's remember, we'll go back to you, Michelle Cinder, saying the Democrats have a better tolerance for this or a better record. Yes, the Democrats are the party of the feminists. The Democrats are the ones that should have to face this worse. Just like Democrats should face more trouble for trying not to pay their taxes when they're the party of tax and spend. If you're the party of feminism, then you should have a stauncher record of getting rid of your perverted creeps that harass women. Republicans, yes, we're those social conservatives. We don't like people who would squeeze our sisters in inappropriate places. None of us should have to tolerate that. So, once again, we would appeal to the better nature of journalists, and that is enforce this rule all the way across. Don't just try to say, well, we thought when Trump was in power, we were going to shame all the Republicans, and now that the Democrats in power, we're going to spend 3 months seeing nothing. And just the oddity of CNN on all this, that CNN thinks Chris Cuomo is golden. You know, when Stelter was trying to say maybe Chris Cuomo could take a week or two off because of the conflict of interest and then come back and be a conflict of interest all over again. At the same time, Stelter then on his show was giving all those Native Americans credit for ruining the CNN career of Rick Santorum. So Rick Santorum had to go because he wasn't complimentary enough to Native Americans. But Jeffrey Toobin could pull out his penis and masturbate on a Zoom call, and CNN just gave him a little time out. That's what makes you pessimistic, that CNN's going to really have a policy here about what Chris Cuomo can do and what Chris Cuomo can't do. CNN has already demonstrated that Chris Cuomo can do whatever he wants. And putting him on television the night after this report breaks and saying Chris Cuomo's not going to discuss how his brother's been exposed as a serial sexual harasser. He's going to get on air and talk about everything else. It just makes the whole network look stupid. So if there is something just ridiculously wrong at CNN, it's time to turn to Nick Fondacaro, the night train. And I have to start here, Nick, you know. Andrew Cuomo put out this tape, and he runs clips with pictures, and he starts talking about, hey, I'm Italian, I touch the people, I kiss everybody, what are you going to...
Hey, yo, what are you going to do about it?
And this is where I'm like, yeah. Please, on behalf of the Italians and half Italians, explain whether this is a true thing, that everybody does this.
At family weddings, we would do something like this, but you typically reserve it for, like, your family, very close friends, kiss on the cheek, stuff like that. Even my Portuguese side, kiss on one side, kiss on the other, and then you move on. I said this on Twitter the other night, and it's the Cuomos embody, like, the worst stereotypes of Italians. They give off the mafia vibe. They're just handsy, rather perverted.
He's basically shaming the women by saying, hey, I touch lots of butts. It's what I do. Nobody else seems to mind.
Yeah, it's a bastardization of the culture. It was like when Chris claimed Fredo was an ethnic slur akin to the N-word. No, it's not. It's an insult. We're calling you stupid. But
you not seen The Godfather? It's not an Italian slur. It's making fun of you as the dumb brother.
Exactly. And clearly, Andrew is Michael, just destroying the father's legacy.
So the day begins yesterday, and the Attorney General of the state of New York, who's a Democrat, Letitia James, who's mm-hmm. currently waging war on the National Rifle Association and other targets. Mm-hmm. So if she's going to say that Andrew Cuomo is guilty of serial sexual harassment, you know, the networks aren't going to say she's a pervert. You know, this is what they did with Ken Starr. When Ken Starr was investigating sex harassment, he was some sort of fundamentalist pervert for caring whether this actually occurred. This is where Letitia James was going to be trouble for Andrew Cuomo. She's a woman of color. She's a liberal Democrat woman of color. And if she says these, she believes these women, that becomes a political problem. So this bomb drops. And my question to you is, you know, how do you organize your day now? You are like the lead Cuomo guy at Newsbusters. You must have been like...
I was all over looking for references to Chris. And there are plenty throughout it where even in the formal write-up and in their exhibited evidence in the appendixes of the report, where she spells out where James spells out how Chris early on was part of his brother's PR response. He was sending emails and correspondence back and forth between himself, the legal team, his senior Andrew's senior staff, his PR people, and he was even we see in emails where he sends like, here's my suggest, like these lines and of paragraphs of suggested entries for an official statement that ended up on the governor's website.
All right, so
and
you
those
and
those are there.
You and our marketing guy, Zach Montanaro, were starting to do this, parsing the report with Cuomo's on-air statements.
Yes. And what we found was, so in emails, we saw that we have correspondent emails with Chris and Andrew's team on the February 27th and February 28th, right at the end of February. It's on March 1st, the very next day, is when he appeared on air and told his viewers, I'm not going to be able to report on my brother for obvious reasons.
Well, weren't obvious reasons to anyone until now.
And this is... And he's making reference to a CNN ban reporting on his brother that was put in place at least by the 17th of February, because that's when it got picked up by the New York Post and they reported it.
Okay.
So it's sort of like this weird timeline of like the ban comes in and then a week and a half later, he's talking with Andrew's team and then... He says, I can't talk about it. Meanwhile, we know that he's been...
Yeah.
We now know he's been communicating with this, and he hasn't... He hadn't disclosed that up until that point. It wasn't until May 20th that he... Like, over almost, like, 2 months later, 2.5 months later, that he... Admit that once the Washington Post does a report saying, oh, he's on these phone calls... telling his brother to blame cancel culture for all of these women coming forward... That he comes home and is like, oh, you got to understand, it's my brother, it's my family, I put my family first, always for the family. You betrayed the family, Fredo.
Yeah.
This
is what I want to underline this again. It's one thing to say, I advised my brother on this or that, something informal, you know, but this was extremely detailed advice. And of course, if you've never watched Chris Cuomo's show, you wouldn't know. But if you do watch the show, you know he's a lawyer. He always talks about how he's a lawyer. So he's offering his lawyer advice to his brother, who's also a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's this whole idea. He's not just talking to the governor. He's talking to the governor's strategists. You know,
exactly.
He's trying to help them and write speeches for his brother. This is so deeply involved in his brother's political career. It just makes CNN look like they don't care at all about the conflict of interest.
And what CNN has been sort of saying, and we have it in Seltzer's newsletter last night, where people are saying, like, people inside CNN are like, oh, he's helping his brother. Like, you should understand that. It's like, it's one thing if you're going to be there for your brother emotionally.
Right.
Be there. It's like, you're going through a hard time. Talk to me about how you're feeling, checking in. Let's go grab a drink, hang out, try to be that emotional sort of buffer from it. But no, he's giving him the advice, and we're seeing that whole paragraphs from his suggested statements are ending up in official governor statements being put out.
I'd feel better about Chris, you know, Nick, if his advice to his brother was, you're in your 60s and you're preying on women in your 20s. What is the matter with you? That's what a brother should say.
He had... He had the nerve last night when he was lecturing to the unvaccinated people who were choosing to remain unvaccinated. He's like, yeah, you're right, but you don't have a right to infringe on other people's rights. Chris, your brother is in the scandal of touch in violating women's like personal bodies. Don't get into that.
Yeah. So I personally was amazed they let him do the show, but they shamelessly wanted to squeeze out whatever ratings bump there was going to be.
Exactly.
Were you expecting him to do the show, and were you expecting him, like some viewers did you expect he was actually going to address this?
I chalked it up to three possibilities. One, in no particular order, what ended up happening was he did the show, didn't address it. He was going to start the show, address it, or they would do the he's on vacation of a sudden in the middle of the week.
That's what I would have expected if they had any shred of decency to just say, not today.
and the moment I saw that he didn't bring it up at the start of the show, I immediately knew that he wasn't going to bring it up for any of it. And I know that some people were probably thinking like, oh, he might bring it up at the end. But the last time in May when he got implicated in this, he brought it up at the beginning.
Yep.
So that was the track record so far there. But then immediately following the show, so you had Anderson Cooper talk about it in the hour prior.
Right.
And then immediately after Chris's show, Don Lemon was talking about it. It was like the most awkward transition where they were talking about rights and vaccinated stuff again and thinking about other people, which is so perverse that you're going to lecture people about thinking about other people's rights and their bodies, then suddenly turn to, oh, that last guy's brother's touching people.
Yeah. So, you know, Jim Garrity at National Review tweeted, this was his summary of the show, the governor's brother, Chris, didn't mention the scandal involving his brother at all on his primetime news program last night and continued his focus on the real story, which is that Ron DeSantis is the source of all evil and suffering in the world. I mean,
oh, exactly.
This is where if you were Ron DeSantis, you might have had a nice saucy tweet or two about, oh, Chris Cuomo's coming after me. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, this is
Chris Cuomo. He should do tweets like, hey, Chris, I don't have a brother that tells me what to say.
Yeah, that's why he's had like Rebecca Jones on like so many times. I think he's had her on like more than like anybody else on the network because he's tweeted about it even after she's been proven to be a fraud and a liar, that he really wants to damage DeSantis because he knows DeSantis did a better job than his brother and he wants to bring DeSantis down to continue to help his brother's image.
So the question here, let me bring up Jim Garrity also tweeted this, and this is about Andrew. Calling on Cuomo to resign is asking a ruthless, amoral, narcissistic predator to do the right thing, which to me sounds a lot like the Clintons. I mean, it was the same situation where one of the reasons the Clintons didn't resign was because nobody thought they would. You know, I think they had made it so clear over their entire career that they were always going to try to outlast, like it was that reality show called Survivor. They were always going to outwit and outlast and outshame everybody. So there's the question of whether does Andrew Cuomo resign? Does he get impeached? I would put my money on they're going to have to drag him out kicking and screaming. It's a test to see how those New York Democrats, how damaging they think is. But then there's the question that we also asked that we're actually having the debate inside the MRC, which is, does Chris Cuomo resign? Does anybody call on Chris Cuomo to resign for doing what he did to aid the ruthless, amoral, narcissistic predator and tell him to keep fighting?
Exactly, because obviously you have the people on the right calling for it, but we're also seeing calls for him to step down, Chris, over the entire political spectrum. Last night we had an MSNBC opinion writer, Laura Bassett, who she was the one that got Chris Matthews canned for similar sort of accusations. And she wrote that both Cuomos have to step down and leave. And then you even had Keith Olbermann. Oh, my God, Keith Olbermann.
Who's had more jobs and lost more jobs in the media than you can. You certainly can't do it on your 10 fingers.
Exactly. Another former CNN guy.
And a creepy guy. Let me just say, if we're going to talk about creepy guys who love themselves, who are narcissistic, That's Keith Olbermann. Just like when Keith Olbermann would attack Trump as a narcissist, you just kind of go, what? But yeah, I mean, there is a real question. And that's where it sort of frosts me that it's like Rick Santorum had to go. But Toobin gets to stay. Cuomo gets to stay. Cuomo's not just going to get to stay, it feels like. You know, Cuomo is the brand. And they're just going to let it continue to be their brand. So which is worse for CNN, to get rid of him or to keep him?
I know I've had some conversations with some people, and it might be best for them to do it now because, hey, he's not raking in the views like other people.
Well, he's number one on CNN, which is like being the top quarterback of the Jets.
Who just signed day three into training camp. So that's a look to the season. But they definitely have probably some better people that they can go to.
Sure.
If they want to sort of make amends for keeping Cuomo on, they have a stable of women that could take the position.
Well, that's usually what you would do, right? You would put a woman there to be up against Rachel Maddow. That would make sense. You could always promote Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper would sure like to be on in prime time.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, and that was the kind of thing that you, again, putting Cuomo on in prime time, taking him off the morning show, and putting him in prime time was just that thing where they said, we want to put the Democrat guy front and center, and that's where it's going to go. Now, tell me, what do you anticipate as our senior fellow in Fredo studies in the days to come? What are you working on? What's in the oven?
Well, so far coming up, I'm going to be looking at tonight, since NBC also did their own report about Chris's involvement with Andrew in terms of helping him out. I want to see tonight if they actually mention it tonight, because they put out their report during NBC Nightly News. So, hey, you guys wrote about it online. This should be also part of your reporting at some point on air as well.
Now, if you're listening to this show 2 or 3 days from when we recorded, we apologize. But this is actually an interesting phenomenon, and this happens a lot. So NBC News has this sophisticated, detailed report on NBCNews.com on what they found in the footnotes about Chris Cuomo. And the question we always ask ourselves is,
will they cover?
Is this actually going to make the shows? Is it going to be on Lester Holt's show? Is Savannah Guthrie going to discuss it on the morning show? And a lot of times the answer is no. I mean, I go back to, if we're going to go back to the king of sexual assault charges, Juanita Broderick saying that she was raped by Bill Clinton. And, of course, ABC News, I remember in particular, had a very detailed long story on Juanita Broderick's story on ABCNews.com. You think that made the air? No. Mm-hmm. And that's, this again is the double standard. And that is that a Republican being accused of things is always fair game. We'll go back to Brett Kavanaugh. And it usually was in the Clinton case that the accusation of rape was so serious that they really weren't going to do it because it was so serious, which sounds backwards. And yet these same people jumped right up with some woman saying, oh yeah, Kavanaugh was part of a rape train. I mean, the more ridiculous the charges got. Mm-hmm. Michael Avenatti had one of these accusers.
Yeah.
And NBC put him right on. And Julie Swetnick.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the double standard that they show. And keeping Chris Cuomo.
And even with this one, the media had to be dragged kicking and screaming.
Right. Remember, remember, what did this, December was the first charge with Lindsay Boylan. And they probably at the time suggested, well, Lindsay Boylan, she got us a political career. She's trying to do this to advance herself. You know, this is where we get this bizarre idea where, why would Letitia James say yesterday that Andrew Cuomo violated federal and state laws, but I'm not prosecuting him? Because she doesn't want to be accused of, I'm going to get Andrew Cuomo so I can be governor. So, I mean, that's where, yes, I guess Catherine Bennett was the first one that they all felt they had to take seriously. Mm-hmm. But as usual, as the accusers pile up, it can get more difficult. Now, this is where they'll all say, well, Trump had multiple accusers. And we have to go back. It isn't just about the numbers, because some of the accusers of Trump were so hard to believe. The one I remember in particular, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but it was all like, I was in a restaurant, I don't know what date it was, it had a red couch, and he touched my knee, and I don't remember what year it was, and you're like, oh, you sound like Blasey Ford. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether you have an actual date or a place where we could try to corroborate. This is what Letitia James did yesterday. They had witnesses who would say it happened on this date. My coworker saw the whole thing.
And you, and in their exhibits, in the appendixes of the report, were these massive text chains between Bennett and her mom, her dad, her friends. Just these massive contemporary text chains. Some of the text chains as these events were happening. So you had all of this massive information that you can point to and be like, this actually happened. And even in the report, we have two new accusers that came out.
A state trooper.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is the thing that gets me, and I don't want to say anything mean about this woman, but the idea that a state trooper would get promoted to the governor's detail, despite not having enough experience, didn't she on some level think that maybe the governor had a personal reason for promoting her? Maybe she knew that, and maybe she was on the lookout for that. That's certainly the way it turned out. And this, again, is the word for this is abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a state employee. And it used to be under Clinton that the state troopers would help Clinton get babes. That was their job. That was part of their job, was to go up to a Paula Jones and say, the governor'd like to see you in his hotel room. Now the state trooper in this case is victimized by the governor. But this is the place where we should all say politicians should not abuse their office in this way, and the voters should punish them for doing it. I end up being cynical that the Cuomos are going to be punished, just like the Clintons. Were they punished? Hillary didn't get elected.
Nope.
They haven't exactly suffered in the wealth department, and they're still being honored, you know, in media circles. So that's the kind of thing that makes you cynical.
Oh, and hopefully the New York State Assembly will move towards getting rid of Andrew, because I think this might have been the boost that their impeachment investigation needed, because I believe they were waiting sort of for Letitia James to wrap up. So now they have like all the evidence, because I know from conversations that I've had with people in New York politics, they were sort of biting at the bit a little bit to get on this.
Yes, let's remind people that you went to college in Binghamton.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you have New York experience and contacts, and that's one of the reasons you like the Cuomo beat.
Yep. Because one of the reasons why I left New York is back way, way back in the day when Andrew said that conservatives are not welcome in the state when they were having their abortion debate.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, when you're somebody like Andrew, you might be more for abortions for personal reasons, but.
Mm. Oh, now we see why.
Well, this is, again, this is a sexual harassment scandal. This is an adultery scandal, but. You know, Andrew Cuomo hasn't been married for a long, long time. I just find it funny, just as a final note, you know, to watch Morning Joe this morning, and you see somebody like John Heilman saying, well, nobody ever liked this guy. He doesn't have any friends. You know, and we could just pull out the tape that Bill D'Agostino made of all of them loving on him. Mm-hmm. You know, Chelsea Handler wanting to have sex with him. I mean, people wearing buttons that said Cuomo sexual. And this is, you know, you're having a bad week, and maybe the week won't last more than a week, when they're all like, well, nobody likes you. Nobody likes you.
Well, that sort of is what came out in her report, right? That people knew that his areas, his office was abusive, humiliating, just generally toxic, but he's the governor, so people are just going to tolerate him.
And this does happen in politics, Democrat, yeah. Republican. You know, I worked in the House of Representatives for a very tiny period in the 80s, and you would hear which offices were horrible to work for, where people literally lasted in these House offices for 3 months because the boss was just that terrible. So, look, this is grist for journalism. You know, they tried to do this story about Kamala Harris, and the networks weren't interested in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But these sorts of stories are where the news media needs to get involved and get to the bottom of it and dig. Doesn't matter which party, but it just, again, I guess it does depend on which party you belong to. So that's why you come to Newsbusters to see what we got once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.